breathe. Good morning, North State, and welcome to Free Fire Radio on KCNR 1460, the home of Free Fire Media, and Carl and Linda Bott. Good morning, 7:05 on March the 30th. One more day of March. That's right, one more day, and then it's another day after that becomes Squirrel Wars. We'll talk about that later. Hey, you can call us at 530-605-4567, or you can stream with us at KCNR1460.com and join the chat room. I hope you're having a great day. Today is going to be a great day. I've been joined by Bad Bob.
And good morning, sir.
So what's the weather going to be like today, Bad Bob?
Get a hold of this. Partly cloudy, warm, and a high, drum roll please, possibly in the 80s. Can you get your head around that? Winds up north at 10 to 15, clear tonight with low of 54. Very warm tomorrow, how quickly it turns around. We don't have spring, per se, in Northern California.
It just throws
a switch.
We go from 30 feet of snow to 80-degree weather.
Right now, 51 degrees downtown. Weather report brought to you by Anselmo Vineyards.
They've got music going this weekend. You got to give them a call out there. Make sure you've got reservations. Last weekend, you remember how bad the weather was, right? Well, the night's the music. I have music up there last Friday. Even though you had like 153 inches of rain falling, 69 mile per hour winds, they still filled the place up. So, got to give them a call and get your reservations for Friday night. Linda is getting ready for her show tomorrow and is getting things set up today, doing a lot of interviews. And I was on the computer when I left and last saw her. So, she's on assignment today, but we have a number of guests. We're going to be talking music. We're going to be talking why you should maybe invest in gold and silver and why that's a good idea. We've been talking about that with some people. And we've got all types of other great things to talk about and whatever you want to talk about. Again, this is open line. Even we have guests. It's open line. Something is stuck in your craw. Give us a call. Okay, we're going to take a quick break here. We're going to come back. We're going to start over with Libya. And, you know, things are happening in Libya. I do not have a crystal ball. But so far, everything that we've been talking about has kind of like been coming true over there. I'm not sure what the next step is, however, but we need to talk about that a little bit. You know, and we've got to talk about how they've stabilized the cost. So it'd only be like after we pull out of this one no-fly zone or we just support it, it only becomes $40 million a month or $1 million a day, over $1 million a day. That's stabilization. That stabilization. And what about the idea of new taxes brought to you by Governor Brown? Even though they don't call it that, they're not going to announce it. But guess what? It's going to have a severe impact on you to the effect of billions of dollars. We're going to talk about all that when we get back. This is Carl and Linda Bott, Free Fire Radio. It is 7:08 on March the 30th. This is Free Fire Radio. Free Fire Radio, KCNR 1460. It's Carl and Linda Bott. Good morning, 7:11 in the morning, March the 30th. It's going to be a great day today. It's 51 already. It's going to get up maybe to 80 today?
Yeah, 82.
82. So, okay, that's all the time. You've been taking those vitamin D pills during the winter months to keep your bones in strong. So today, go out, lay in the sun, go out, put your sunscreen on, go out and get some good vitamin D, go for a walk, go do those things. Okay. Somebody asked in the chat room already, and good morning, Valerie, and MOM, and Angel, and the rest. Do we need another war in the Middle East? Don't we have enough? It looks like right now is the cost so far. It has been $550 million so far in the Libya action. Okay, now for people that say to me, well, you know, what about this other war? What about this other war? What about this other war? Well, the question is this. We've been in war for 10 years, my friends. 10 years. Seems like a long time to be at war. So we're pulling out of Iraq, but we're still fighting there. We're still spending millions there. We're fighting in Afghanistan and pushing more troops in there, having casualties, which don't get into the mainstream media, but on the blog that I write, Time Under the Helmet, on running.com, I try every Friday to bring in and just say, hey, look, here's the latest. And there's a website you can go to and take a look at the latest casualties over in Afghanistan and Iraq. And it's all the casualties, not just killed in action. It's also ones that died through non-hostile means. And you know what? That happens a lot. Those are dangerous places over there. The Pentagon has spent $550 million so far on Libya. And it looks like 60% of the added cost were for missiles and bombs. I don't know if this... And this doesn't... the estimates do not include the cost of an F-15 fighter plane that went down over Libya due to mechanical failure.
$100 million. Poof.
Yep. Well, you know what? The thing about that is they fall out of the sky anyway. But the fact is, when you're running combat missions, you take you push the limits of these aircraft. So maybe it wouldn't have fallen out. But so let's just say, but let's add it in because it's part of it, even though they didn't do it. And they're saying, though, they've got it stabilized to about 40 million. And they plan to stabilize at $40 million per month, $1 million a day, once the U.S. forces are reduced and NATO takes over greater control, which, of course, they haven't done yet. They keep saying they're going to. The military operations in Libya were not expected to have a material effect on U.S. defense stocks, especially now that aircraft have been positioned at bases in Italy, reducing in-flight refueling needs. Yes, but let's go back into Libya. What's going on? You turn around, the rebel forces are pushing Gaddafi back. There's a no-fly zone. NATO's bombing the Gaddafi troops. Big headlines. Gaddafi offensive pushes rebels back further east. Libya rebels flee oil town under Gaddafi bombardment. Now, here's what's going on, my friends. This is what's going to happen is... They're losing. Gaddafi has better trained forces, better armed forces, has armor, has artillery. It can go down. And they're organized. Take a look at who they're fighting. They're not organized. A bunch of them get together, get their AK-47s, and they charge out. They get whacked. They run away. They're not trained. So they don't have enough people there to do it. Even though you know as well as I do, we've got people on the ground helping them, even though nothing's been, officially announced. But what they're wanting is they want to have airstrikes. They want our troops, our aircraft to hit Gaddafi. And the Pentagon said on Tuesday 115 strike sorties have been flown against Gaddafi's forces in the previous 24 hours, and 22 Tomahawk cruise missiles have been fired. How much is the Tomahawk? Anywhere from 600,000 to what? A million? Depending on what it is, I guess. But let's just go 600,000. So that's, that... That was only like 12 million. So the thing about it is that have we made up our mind what we're going to do there? What is the end result? Do we want Gaddafi out? I don't think anybody said anything about what is the end game here. They want freedom and peace and democracy and justice and a chicken in every pot. And I swear to you that is there a strategy that says how you're going to get Gaddafi out? He's not going to roll over. Everybody goes, well, he may go in exile. Well, he may, but what if he doesn't? What are you going to do then? Are we going to see the fact that if he pushes forward, he pushes them back? Are they going to need a safety zone in there? Are they going to need some kind of barrier strip that keeps Gaddafi's forces away from the rebels, keeps them from killing them all? And what happens if the rebels push out and they start killing Gaddafi forces? How long do you think it's going to take with this civil war going on before there's boots on the ground? I think it's going to happen at some point.
Well, as an American who just signed my name to my tax return and we considered ourselves lucky that we broke even this year, the timing is everything. And I think that the public, as tax day looms, is not going to be real happy about these numbers.
Well, the thing about it is that it's, again, we're stretching the envelope for our military. We're putting people out there. They're saying they're starting to pull some of the ships back and such, when the NATO takes over the no-fly zone and takes over the air-to-ground combat. But it's still stabilizing at $40 million a month. That seems like a lot of money, and it seems like that... And how long is this going to go on? Is this going to be a three-month or a four-month or a five-month? The reasons President Obama said to get in there were noble. We've gone into other places with those noble ideas, and we're still there. We went into Somalia with noble ideas, went in there, and actually did the mission, disarmed them, saved a generation of people. But then at the end, when we had the incident, as everybody knows, is Black Hawk Down, we pulled out of Somalia, and what do we have now? We have a non-governmental nation that goes out and practices piracy as their main method of gaining funds. Okay. This is Libya. Libya is not going to change. Libya is going to be like this. I think that it's one of those things that you've stuck your fist into it, and you've got your fist into the opening, and the only way you're going to get it out of the opening is to turn loose of everything and pull it out. But if you try to keep your fist in there, nothing's going to happen. It's just going to be like that. Okay, we're going to take a quick break. We're going to come back. We're going to talk about some things that are happening around the United States, and we're going to talk about what's happening right here in the state. Carl and Linda Bott, Free Fire Radio. Linda's on assignment, 7:18 in the morning on March the 30th. This is Free Fire Radio. Welcome back to Free Fire Radio. Casey and I are 1460 level of Free Fire Media. Putting on the Ritz, 7:21 on March the 30th. Hey, you know, Bad Bob, I thought that was part of the advertisement there. I was sitting there just kind of dancing around anyway. Hey, it is 7:22 on March the 30th. It's 51 degrees, supposed to get up in the 80s today. This portion of the show is brought to you by Lumberjacks. And while you're here, after you finish the show, say, let's go down to Lumberjacks for breakfast. They've got specials Monday through Friday at $3.99, a big plate of ham and eggs, country fried steak and eggs for just a dollar more, and New York steak and eggs for under $6. And that's specials Monday through Friday at Lumberjacks, 501 East Cypress. Lumberjacks, a local business owned by our neighbors in the city. And also the fact is that they give great service, great food, and they're real friendly down there. That's Lumberjacks, 501 East Cypress. Okay. It looks like the fights are going on the budgets. The House votes to kill. And this is an interesting thing. You know, how many people have had problems in paying their mortgages? People are upside down. The banks, you know, totally, the banks and lending institutions totally took advantage of people. Well, I say totally took advantage. There's many, many cases where people, because of the economy and all that, came upside down in the houses, and what they wanted was a way to redo their mortgages. So, hey, look, I don't want to lose a house. I want to continue to pay, but I can't pay at this, this usurious level here. And it wasn't all the bank's fault. You know, part of it, you know, of course, is when you're buying something, you know, when you're stepping into something, if you're what you need to do. But the U.S. House of Representatives on Tuesday voted to kill one of Obama's signature programs to help struggling homeowners. It was a 252-170 vote. And it was the last of four measures brought forward by the new House Republicans to end government assistance for homeowners hurt by the housing crisis. What it says is that they put all this money aside to help lower mortgage payments for 3 million to 4 million homeowners. I could see that. But I understand that purpose, but you're taking taxpayer money to help out those. Okay, but it keeps people in their homes and trying very hard not to be a socialist here. It's the fact is that, yes, okay, if you're going to use tax money for so many stupid things, maybe in a way to help people stay in their homes, that it could help, and maybe this isn't. But fewer than 600,000 borrowers have received permanent loan modifications, and I'll tell you why. I've talked to people that have been involved in this. The only way you get these loan modifications is, one, you don't pay your loans, you don't pay your mortgages, and then you go through all the paperwork. How many people have you known that have put in for this? I've known of two or three. And only one of them, maybe one of them, has received anything that kept them going. The other ones were just, it was like it became such a paperwork nightmare. You had to do this and this, you had to do that. It was as if they could not make it through the morass of paperwork, that it was tough. And they put aside $20 billion, and yet only 600,000 people have used it. So they said if there's any bill at all, if there's any of these laws, anything to do to save money, this would be the one you kill. House Democrats are fighting it. And when it gets in the Senate, it'll die, because the Senate Democrats are not going to let that happen, not going to let this program die. As one of them said, it's not that you kill off the program, it's a fact is you have to fix the program. Well, okay. Let's look at the health care program. Do you want to kill off the program? Do you want to fix the program? I think there's lots of things about our health care in this country we can fix. Many, 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 many things we could fix. But we don't have to have a overburdensome government plan that's going to squash the doctors and the medical resources in this country. that's going to end up costing us a lot of money. You know, how do I go from, I know, how do you go from mortgages to the health care plan? Government programs that are not well thought out, that are thrown into things with, you know, with thousands of pages of documentation, but yet nobody really understands it. The health care plan, oh, let's implement it and then find out how it works. Well, that's wrong. It doesn't, you know, now we're getting things, as we've said yesterday, and we'll have a doctor on here to talk about this, is that you get document after document that the government wants you to sign if you're going to participate in the programs, but yet they make no sense, and they take away your ability almost to practice medicine. How can this be? How can this be over something that wants to help people? Because it wasn't well thought out. It's like many of the other programs that are not well thought out that we run into. Other news of the country? Before we get local. Looks like there are Wisconsin's anti-union law. You know, it's funny, you know, when you see this, you know, people write, it's an anti-union law. How about it is a method to save money for the state? Why is it an anti-union law? It's just because that's what the that's the statement that the reporter has. Oh, it's got to be anti-union because they've asked to revise collective bargaining and all this in the state. Anyway, they blocked it. A judge again blocks a law, even though that it was passed overwhelmingly. In Arizona, enacts a ban on abortions based on gender and race. No, I don't. You know, I did not know that this was a problem in the United States. Arizona Governor Jan Brewer on Tuesday signed into a law a controversial bill that makes the state the first in the nation to outlaw abortions performed on the basis of the race or gender of the fetus. Under the new statute, doctors and other medical professionals could face felony charges if they could be shown to have performed abortion for the purpose of helping parents select their offspring on the basis of gender or race. There's no such law anywhere else in the nation. Arizona's taking the lead again here. Backers of the measure said the ban is needed to put an end to sex and race-related discrimination that exists in Arizona throughout the nation. They insist the issue is about bias rather than any broader stance on abortion. And opponents have maintained that while such abortions may be happening in other countries like China, and it does, no clear evidence can find a found of it occurring in Arizona. And so, essentially, its law creates a requirement that the women state publicly the reason for choosing to terminate pregnancy. How interesting. Okay, how much time we got there, Bad Bob?
Oh, about a minute and 15 seconds.
Okay, it looks like Governor Brown, as we get closer in here, Governor Brown has said he's into talks in a bipartisan budget duel. He says while he agrees with many of what the GOP is saying as far as changing what's going on in our budget process, including putting a spending cap on, you know, redoing how pensions are done, he says that it looks like he's abandoning his efforts to negotiate a bipartisan budget, which means that this could be is that those fees and taxes that are out there right now may sunset. And if that happens, what's the ramifications of that? Could be big. We got to take a break here. Carl Lindebot, Free Fire Radio. It is 7:29 on March the 30th, right here on Free Fire Radio, KCNR 1460. Welcome back to Free Fire Radio on KCNR 1460, the home of Free Fire Media. It's 7:34 in the morning on March the 30th. Carl and Linda Bott, good morning. Linda's on assignment. She, when I left, she was hot into the computer there, going and getting a lot of things done today, getting ready for the rest of the week here. Our phone line's here, 530-605-4567. Or you can listen to us streaming at kcnr1460.com. And you can join the chat room. There's a lot of people in there right now. You see one person's in there trying to pick a fist fight with some other people. So that's okay. They do it in a genteel manner. Hey, what's the weather today, Bad Bob?
You asked for it. You got it. Sunny today and a high near 80 degrees. Digging at 53 for a low tonight and even warmer tomorrow. 51 degrees right now. Weather report brought to you by Anselmo Vineyards.
Always Anselmo is a great place. We're going to be talking about that in a couple minutes. But this portion of the show is brought to you by B&T Satellite. Don't call the 800 number. Call Doug Tooley. puts in dish satellite at 244-1988. That's 244-1988. They've moved to 1345 Liberty Street. Does great work. He guarantees his work. He's a local guy. When the phone rings, you will not get somebody from a different hemisphere. You'll get either Heather or Doug. 244-1988. Guarantees his work. And he's a local guy. And our guest, we're going to be talking music right now. Joe Catania.
Hey.
Good morning, Joe.
Good morning, Carl.
Yeah, I've heard Joe a number of times. Works with Linda and vice versa. Linda works with you.
Yeah.
And also Ann Muir is here, too. Good morning, Ann.
Good morning.
Get it just a little bit closer. There you go. And Ann was on here before when she gave us a story about when she was in Egypt during when the revolution for freedom, I guess it could be called
that.
Yeah,
you can call it that, I think.
I'm not sure that that's what it ended up to be, but it started where the people wanted some freedom there. And
yeah.
I asked her during a break, had she been like traveling through Libya and Yemen and all those other places, but she said she had not been. So.
Staying in Reading.
Good okay. place to stay.
Okay, we want to talk to Joe about a couple of things. One is he's involved in a fundraiser.
Yes.
Okay,
yes.
And let's talk about that one first.
Well, what we're doing, it's Saturday night at the Pilgrim Congregational Church, and it's going to be a four-part concert series, right? And what Ann Muir has done as pastor of the church is offered the venue so that we could bring the community in and show them this wonderful Frank Lloyd Wright venue and then infuse the music into that. It's a beautiful place. So what we decided to do was do different fundraisers, and one of the fundraisers, the first one, is going to be a fund, it's going to be the Noteworthy Cause. And what that is, it's a group that buys new instruments for the kids in high school around the Reading area, and they repair instruments. So that's our first...
When you say they buy them for the students of the schools here, schools have any type of music program? I'm sorry, I'm ignorant of this, but they have music programs, right?
Yeah, they do. But you know, with the way things are in the economy right now, they're cutting back on a lot of things in the schools, and the first thing they do is cut out the music.
They cut out music. Junior ROTC went away.
Right.
Music. Yeah. I don't know if you know physical education programs. I think have been gone though for a long time.
Right.
Yeah. It's that. Of course. But then I also saw math classes being cut and French classes being cut.
Absolutely.
I wish Linda was here because she expresses it so well how. You take away the ability to learn how to express yourself in music. It may be the only way you have to express yourself for a lot of kids.
Absolutely. And it's a proven fact that the kids that are in music do better in the other academic areas.
Discipline.
Yeah.
I think that's got a lot to do with
Absolutely.
Discipline.
Yeah. Camaraderie, discipline. Yeah. And it really is sad that they're doing that. So what we're trying to do is find these places like Noteworthy Cause and, mm-hmm. and try to help them out a little bit.
Okay, so tell us about this. Then I know it's going to be at the Pilgrim Church, you said.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And that's one of the reasons is because it's so acoustically
Oh, gosh,
great.
It's marvelous. The sound, of course, Frank Lloyd Wright design, and the sound is just incredible. When you're in there, you know, you really don't need that much amplification. And really what we're amplifying is my vocals.
Uh-huh.
So Anne has been so graciously letting us use the venue we've been rehearsing there. And it's Saturday night.
Saturday night.
At 6 o'clock.
Okay.
It goes from 6 to 8. There will be a reception that we're having. The Holiday Inn is providing the food for the reception and wine. The concert will run probably a little under 2 hours, and we'll take a break in between there. People can enjoy wine and talk to the musicians. It's really kind of laid back. It's going to be an easy-going thing for everybody. And I'll be on stage singing, explaining things about music in the songs that I'm singing.
Was this your idea?
No, this was actually Tony Armas's idea.
Okay.
He was a member of the church, and he put it together. He's producing it. So he put together his group, and, you know, Linda knows all these guys, too.
Yeah.
John Gonzalez is on piano. Bruce Kalin will be playing bass. And Mackenzie Hughes is
mm-hmm.
on trumpet.
Great.
Who's right across the street here.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay, so this is going to be Saturday night.
Saturday night.
And the cost is?
We're asking, it's $30 a ticket.
Okay.
And that'll be at the door. You can get the tickets at Crown Camera. You can get them at Turtle Bay Cafe. You can get them at one of our great sponsors that you know, Enjoy Magazine.
That's right.
Enjoy Store. So, and with that, of course, you're going to get some great hors d'oeuvres and some nice wine.
Okay. And a night of music. Ann?
Yeah, you know, the church has been used, that beautiful venue has been used to support high school music for a long time, as the Madrigals, the Shasta High Madrigals have been using that venue for 30-some years. So those of you who've experienced the Madrigal dinner, you'll have an idea of the kind of ambiance that can be created. And that's really what we're excited to offer, is a full experience, an experience of an evening that's beyond the music. It's the music and the building and the personalities of the musicians, and just a good way to just have a fabulous evening.
That's right.
And support high school
and
music.
And support the music.
Right.
And programs. Great. Okay, hey, we're going to take a quick break here. Carl and Devot, it is 7:41 on March the 30th. It's 51 degrees. We're going to come back and talk to Joe about some of the little things he's got working on, too. Join us after these messages. This is Free Fire Radio.
Hear it or not.
I can hear you. Hey, welcome back to Free Fire Radio on KCNR 1460, home of Free Fire Media. And Carl and Linda Bott. Linda's on assignment, 7:45 in the morning, March the 30th. Hey, this portion of the show is brought to you by Tobacco and Brew, 2143 Hilltop Drive. Finest walk-in cigar humidor in the state. Plus, Espresso Joe's has the kind of coffee you want at prices that are fair. The people there are friendly. Joe and Shelley are stalwarts of this community. They help out in veterans. They help out the community. They help out the people in this town. That's Tobacco and Brew, 2143 Hilltop Drive, a great place to go to. Now, I don't know if anybody can hear that thumping sound in the background, but it appears that somebody with a jackhammer is working next door, or maybe above us. I thought it was a helicopter coming in. And I was kind of like starting to look underneath the table because it was like it was running in hot. If anybody can hear that, just give us a call or tell us on the chat room if you can hear that. Okay, Joe Catania is our guest. I probably pronounced that completely wrong.
That's all right.
Joe, you've been a mainstay around this town.
I've been here for a while. Yeah, you know, we moved here 6 years ago, 7 years ago,
uh-huh.
And started our business. We're at the cafe at Turtle Bay right now.
Right.
So. Here I am.
But you are one heck of a singer.
Oh, well, thank
and
you.
And a performer. You know, Linda loves performing with you.
Oh.
And, loves singing with you. Now, tell us a little bit about your musical background.
Well, I don't know. I've been singing ever since I can remember. I've worked quite extensively with the old guys. You know, I'm from that era of Dean Martin's, but I worked with Milton Berle and Don Rickles and was on tour with them.
How was it being on tour with Don Rickles?
Oh, my God. I'll tell you what. He he was probably one of the nicest ones I've worked with. Absolutely wonderful man.
You know, I've heard that because he released probably all of his aggressions out on the, on the stage. He came back, he was very, very mellow. I mean, it really, it was like being here. You can release your aggressions here in the morning and then, those angst moments.
Right.
And then after that, it's kind of like, okay, I feel okay now.
Oh, yeah. Off stage, he was incredible, it was an honor to get ripped by him. People wanted to.
I saw him one time in Vegas, mm-hmm. and I was out in the crowd, and when he would come on, they would play the Matador's March, and people would pay extra to be up close to the stage, and he would say things about people that I would just, it was just like, oh. And people paid to have him insult them.
Oh, that's right. And a lot of times, did he walk through the audience when they played it?
Yes, he did. He started from the back of the room and walked his way through. That's right.
From the back of the room.
Gosh, that's got to be 40 years since I've seen that.
It's got to be 40 years since I worked.
Hey, Joe, you got an album out.
Yeah. It's called Stories, recorded in San Francisco and at Capitol Records, too, down in L.A.
Mm-hmm.
It's been out for a few years. It does well overseas. You know, it's tough to get an album, a lot of playtime here in the States. But, it's been out, and I do check up on it every once in a while, and I'll get emails from the radio stations that are playing it in Australia and Canada.
Right.
So it's pretty cool.
Now, you got a big night out tomorrow night now.
Oh, yeah.
And so almost.
Oh, wait, Friday.
Oh, that's what I meant, Friday night, not Thursday. Gosh, that's right. Today's Wednesday, right?
Today.
On Friday, Anselmo.
Yeah, my big night tomorrow night is my daughter's birthday.
That's the huge night. All right, I'll go with that
huge
one.
Huge night, Olivia's birthday.
That's right. Okay, happy birthday, Olivia.
Yeah.
Get you early. Happy birthdays. I hope you get everything that you want. I hope you've made a big, long list, because Daddy will do that.
That's right.
There you go. Friday night.
Friday night. It's my first time. I'm excited about that. I know Linda started this thing last year, I think. Right.
Right.
And I couldn't make it because I'm doing different things on weekends over at Turtle Bay, but Pat Karch gave me a call, said, hey, you know, Linda said you'd be pretty good out there. So I was really excited about it. It starts at 6 o'clock.
Right.
And it goes from 6 to 9.
That's right. Good music out there. And, you know, like I said, you know, last week, even with all the rain and the terrible Friday weather, they still filled the place up. So, you know, this is a good time to go listen to you and Pat Karch, and it's going to be a great night of music. Plus, of course, the food is always outstanding there. I think that's a good part of the deal. You get fed.
Yeah, we're really looking forward to it. Yeah. Really
what kind good. Of what kind of sets do you think you're going to be playing out there?
Tomorrow night?
It's going to be that smooth, I know.
Oh yeah, it will be. I got the email from Pat, and Pat and I have been talking about it. He said we're going out of Joe's book. So that means it's a lot of Cole Porter tunes, Ellington tunes, ballads, some bebop top, you know, stuff like that. So
yeah.
That's all the stuff, Carl, that we've been doing for 35 years.
Now, you and Linda are also going to be getting together in May. I think it's May 14th. I've got to check the exact date
right. For
the when they do the commemoration out there for the final choice in the for the Veterans Art Project or the Art Project for the Shasta County Veterans Service Office,
right. Which
is a huge thing.
Yeah, we're doing a duet together, and if I'm not mistaken, okay, I'm going to mess it up. Linda, if you're listening to me, I'll be seeing you in all the old familiar places, I think.
I think that's probably a good one because I know that that's one of her favorite.
Yeah,
one of her favorites too. So, and that'll be on in May when they do the final part for the Shasta County Veterans Service Office, which is just another great effort for the veterans right here in town.
That's out at Anderson, right?
I'm not sure where they're going to have it at. I'll have to go back and check, because I think they're probably still finalizing that, but we'll get that out.
Okay.
But tomorrow, I mean, Friday night, tomorrow's Olivia's birthday, and Friday night, of course, Anselmo's. Be there at 6 o'clock, listen to Joe and Pat, and just have a great time out
there.
We're
excited about it.
But you're going to need, I tell you right now, my friends, you're going to need reservations. And it is 474-5546. That's 474-5546 because it's an intimate area there for singing.
Right.
And for the dinners, the service is just, of course, outstanding, and the dinners are five-star. And then you add to that this music series, and I tell you what, you cannot ask for a better way to spend an evening. And guess what? Friday night is probably going to be the best Friday, because it's the first Friday we've had. It's just going to be just wonderful weather. So go on out there and listen to Joe. Joe, thank you so much for that, and then for the work you're doing to raise funds for the for the instruments for kids in school. And Ann, thank you so much for being here. You're always welcome.
Oh,
we always like to listen to you. I mean, you are our reporter in Egypt. So during the crisis here. I mean, not every local community radio station has their own commentator that was in the middle of revolution. Hey, this is Carl and Linda Bob. We've got to take a break. It's 7:52, March the 30th. This is Free Fire Radio. Yeah, welcome back to Free Fire Radio and KCNR 1460, home of Free Fire Media. It's Carl and Linda Bott. Good morning. 7:55 in the morning on March the 30th. Linda's on assignment.
Sounds like a gunfire.
You know what? This whole thing is, you know, obviously nobody's hearing it or nobody said anything if you can hear it. So it's in the background here. Maybe it's just because it's right next to the wall that it sounds like it would almost be like a Ma Deuce, a 50 cal, except it's firing too fast. It's got bum, 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 bum. Anyway, so I don't want to digress any further than that, but let's talk about the weather.
It's what you see is what you get. It's going to be a beautiful day today and a high pushing 80 degrees, overnight low in the 50s. And it's going to be that way for the next couple of days. We have some minor systems coming through, but nothing compared to what we've had, so we are definitely turning the corner. But, of course, a lot of runoff still in the Sacramento River, and as the snow melt off the lower slopes adds to the flow, it's still going to be high water for the next several days. So just a reminder that it, even though the weather is going to be nice, this is not the time to throw an inner tube into the Sacramento and go for a ride because they probably wouldn't
find you for a long time. Well, they've closed down the Sacramento. I know that some people are complaining. The kayakers have to hope to navigate back to water here from the our local newspaper, and they're talking about that.
It's just really dangerous right now. There's severe undertow. There's a lot of debris in the water, and I know the drift boaters are wanting to get out there, but Prudence is definitely, every year that they've had this kind of water condition, somebody goes down there, gets dumb, and there's a tragedy.
Well, that's because they're upping the releases, and again, as we said, they're releasing enough water to fill 40,000-gallon swimming pools a second. 40,000-gallon swimming pools a second is being released from those dams.
Well, Carl, if I may, I'd like to indulge one of my brief passions here about something that's very important to me.
And only because yesterday you managed to fix the board using a paper clip and a rusty nail file.
And literally Linda's compact.
That's right.
For a mirror.
Yeah, and a mirror.
I am with the Coast Guard Auxiliary, and this Saturday at the Veterans Memorial Hall in Reading, the About Boating Safety class, one-day class, it will teach you all the things you need to know to be safe on the water. Boats, 3 tons, no brakes when you think about it. So we have tragedies up on the lake every year, and that's the mission of the Auxiliary, is to keep that from happening. The class is well worth the time and the money. There's a cost, and you can find out more. You can email me, bob@kcnr1460.com, or I'll throw out a phone number here. You can talk to Dan at 547-4951. 547-4951 if you'd like to take the About Boating Safety course, and it is quite possible that you will save money on your boat insurance once you have that certificate in hand.
Okay. Well, as I said, this is something that is near and dear to Bad Bob's heart. In fact, he did fix it yesterday. We're using Linda's mirror. And next week we're having a big day. We're going to have the introduction of the new board, the new KCNR.
The console.
It'll be coming right out of Star Trek and things like that. We're just installing that one next week just to make sure that we never have a little problem with wires becoming crossed. And then we can take away the sign that's been up now for a year and 4 months that says don't cut the red wire. All right. No, don't worry about it. Thanks. You have not broken the Internet. We're still rolling through here. All right. We're going to take a break for the news. When we come back, we're going to be talking gold. We're going to be talking silver. We're going to be talking all types of things like that. We're going to be talking about why is the Department of Fish and Game, a judge says they should be ordered, the wardens, to overstep authority by beefing up the enforcement of the agricultural permits for water. Water wars in Siskiyou County. It's starting to heat up. The judges are in it, and what's going to be the result of this? We're going to be talking about that toward the end of the next hour. Carl and Linda Bott, Free Fire Radio, KCNR. 1460. It's the home of Free Fire Media. It's March the 30th. It's 7:59. Join us after the news.
And thank you for listening to KCNR 1460 Shasta Reading. More Free Fire Radio right after Fox News at the top of the hour.
Welcome back to Free Fire Radio and KCNR 1460, the home of Free Fire Media. Carl and the Bot. Linda's on assignment today. It's 8:05 in the morning, March the 30th. You can get a hold of us. Call 605-4567, or we're chatting on KCNR1460.com. You can listen to us while we're streaming and then join the chat room from all over the world. Our phone number, again, let me put the area code in there because people are listening from other areas outside here, 530-605-4567. I'm joined, of course, by Bad Bob, and we're going to talk weather, because I'm just having a great time with weather.
It's going to be, well, a beautiful day, high under sunny skies, pushing 80 degrees, overnight low of 56, more of the same tomorrow, in fact, a little bit warmer, and right now, 51 degrees, weather report brought to you by Anselmo Vineyard.
What's the rest of the weather look like for the rest of the week there, Bad Bob?
I've got some weather coming in and out, nothing heavy, as a matter of fact, and I can probably update you on that at the 20 break after I look it up, because I don't have it directly in front of me at this moment. And yeah. I know you're trying to stall for time.
No, there you go. I knew that. I knew that because I was trying to help you out and find it. And see, if you want to do the weather, Bad Bob, you got to want to do the weather here. I mean, hey, you saved us yesterday by fixing the board, but that was yesterday. What have you done for me today?
Okay, here we go. We got next chance of precip will be precipitation be on Saturday, and then after that, warming up and heading back up into the 70s and 70s towards 80 as we head into the new week. But our first chance of rain late Friday, early Saturday.
Well, we don't like that, but it's just a chance of rain. We're going to be thinking sunshine and apple pie and puppy dogs and those things. All right. Our guest today, Jake Ryan. And, you know, it's unusual to have somebody walk in and say that, you know, I got into business because of you. And I'm thinking to myself, what kind of business here? I mean, I know what kind of business, but I found that interesting. So, welcome, Jake Ryan, president of the Patriot Gold and Silver Exchange.
Thanks, Carl.
And how did that happen?
Well, you know, you and Linda were at the station, which shall not be named, about 2 years ago, I think, almost 2 years ago.
Uh-huh.
And you had Congressman Wally Herger on, and you did the whole, you know, free fire, call in.
Right.
And so I did. And I identified myself as a former blood-sucking investment banker. And knowing how investment bankers operate, I asked Wally, well, you know, this TARP thing that you're looking to approve, this is how I kind of figured it's going to. He explained how he thought it was going to work, and then I thought, well, yeah, but you're giving money to people that, well, I no longer do what I did, but when I did, I know what the mindset was. And when you give, you know, $1 trillion to these guys, they're not going to say to themselves, oh, gosh, thank goodness, I'm going to now loan this stuff back out and get the economy going. They're going to say, whoa, I made a mistake that first time loaning, you know, for homes and such.
Loaning to everybody.
Oh, yeah, loaning to everybody that didn't, you know. So what I think I'll do is I think I'll safely tuck these away since I'm getting the money for nothing. And Treasuries are yielding 2%, so I'm actually getting 2% for nothing. Now, of course, as soon as they start investing in Treasuries, well, then, you know, Treasuries go up. And we're actually borrowing money to issue Treasuries to give to these guys to buy it. And as I walked it through, I said, now, isn't that inflationary? And he sat there, and he hemmed and hawed a little bit, and then I think you kind of pinned him on something, and he went, well, yeah, okay, it's somewhat inflationary. And I somewhat? I said, yes, it's inflationary. And he voted for it anyway.
He voted for the TARP, and he did that, the first TARP, and then voted against the rest of them. Of course,
yep.
There had been a change of political parties at that time. And the TARP, and we're going to take a break here, Jake. And, you know, we're glad to have Jake on because he brings a different facet to here, because somebody that's been in the investment banking, but, you know, that's not his primary, reason for being here today. But I want to ask him one other question. Then I want to talk about maybe hedging your bets here in the future.
Yeah,
even talking about long term. This is Carl Lindebaugh, Free Fire Radio. It's 8:09 in the morning on March the 30th. It's going to be a great day today, my friends. This is Free Fire Radio. Well, welcome back to Free Fire Radio on KCNR 1460, the home of Free Fire Media. And Carl Lindebaugh is on assignment today. It is 8:12 in the morning on March the 30th. This portion of the show is brought to you by B&T Satellite, 244-1988 for Dish Satellite. Don't call the 800 number. That gets you into a different hemisphere. Call Doug Tooley or Heather at 244-1988. He does great work. He's a veteran. He's a local guy that guarantees his work. If you need to talk to somebody, you want to talk to somebody right here in town. That's Doug Tooley, B&T Satellite, 244-1988. Our guest today, Jake Ryan, who is the president of the Patriot Gold and Silver Exchange out on Eureka Way. Yeah, tell us about that, Jake.
Well, as I mentioned to you, after I hung up, Wally Herger voted for it. I didn't want to beat up on him, and he may have had his reasons, but he knew that it was inflationary. He did it anyway, and I thought to myself, if somebody as conservative as Wally Herger is going to vote for stuff like this, then ultimately this is all going to end in tears, and it's going to be inflationary. And I thought to myself first, what can I do to make sure my family and stuff survives it? And then after I felt like I was pretty secure, I decided, you know, this might not be a bad idea for business. And so I sell gold, I sell silver, but I also sell 200 serving emergency packs with handles that you can just grab and go. And I also sell non-hybrid seeds. Now, all these things that I think that if there's ever a major currency crisis, which I fully expect there to be one.
There's a lot of people that feel that way.
And for good reason. I don't know if I mentioned, I went to the Defense Language Institute in Monterey, so I studied Mandarin Chinese. And I actually read some of the Chinese blogs, not from the mainland, because you can't trust anything they say, but in Taiwan and Singapore. And, you know, there are a lot of people in this country that seem to think that, you know, we're beholden to the Chinese. They own all this treasury, and, boy, they're going to...
The Chinese are our friends, right?
Well, you know, well, no. The Chinese are our terrified subjects. They are scared to death of what we're going to do next.
Well, let me break in just for a second here. Let's talk about Jake just a little bit more. Besides the fact that he was an investment banker, is that correct?
Blood-sucking
investment banker. He was also an Army veteran out of SOCOM and did a lot of work in before the war started in, you know, our Syrian war started
in
2000.
Yeah, I started out as an enlisted, went to NCO, and then decided I didn't want to work for a living and became an officer.
There you go. That was, you know, that's kind of the way I did. So they sent you the Defense Language Institute to study Chinese, Mandarin Chinese.
Yep.
That's not an easy language.
Actually, it was not too bad for me. My mom is deaf, and what I found was that grammatically the structure was pretty much the same. There's no. It's a beautiful language. Anybody who studies languages, you know, they start telling you about how they have cases and subjugations and all. None of that. Past, present tense. You could be talking about something that happened 5,000 years ago,
in Mandarin,
and you know, you would be talking like it was the present day. So you really have to pay attention because it has to be in context. So it was an easy language, in fact, for me. But what made it difficult was I was an English learner. English, if you study Chinese, makes absolutely no sense. It doesn't even the grammatical rules. We always throw them out, and then we say, "Oh, then there's an exception."
Right.
You know, A before E, except after C, and, right science. Or I before E. But anyway, so Chinese was actually pretty good, pretty cool language to learn, and I just thought it would be kind of cool. I was given an option when I was in SOCOM to take nuclear payload handling school or Mandarin Chinese, and I thought to myself, because it was the end of the fiscal year, and they had to spend money on me, and I thought, well, you know, I might want to have kids someday, and nuclear payload handling, gosh, I just don't see a whole lot of upside there. But Mandarin Chinese, guy, the idea of being able to pick up the phone, randomly dialing, and make, you know, having a pretty good shot at speaking to 25% of the world's population, I thought that kind of appealed to me.
Oh, okay. Now, okay, so you made a statement, though. You said is that the Chinese are terrified.
They're terrified. You know, there's a saying that if you borrow $10,000 from the bank owns you. If you borrow $10 million from the bank, you own the bank. They don't want you to fail. They don't want anything. So they have over $1 trillion worth of our treasuries. So just I'll hypothetically give you that they have $1.1 trillion. Okay, on one day they decide, gosh, we'd like to raise a little cash. So let's sell $100 billion of treasuries into the open market. Now the Fed's not buying, you know, secondary market stuff. They're buying it as it's being issued. So you really have to expect there to be a bid. So some German bank somewhere says, okay, sure, I'll pay 75 cents on the dollar. So not only did that $100 billion only, you know, face value, come back to them as only $75 billion, but that $1 trillion they had left, that's now only worth $750 billion. That $100 billion transaction that they only got $75 billion, they didn't lose $25 billion. They lost $275 billion because whatever's still left is being valued at the last trade. So everybody's watching everybody else, the Japanese, you know, with the earthquake and stuff, they're talking about maybe selling some just to raise some cash, and everybody's like, And my expectation is that on one Sunday night, when the Asian markets open first, somebody like the Japanese will say, look, we're just going to sell $150 billion. Everybody knows that's all we're going to do, just to raise cash for the earthquake, tsunami. You saw the pictures. And then when the central banker is actually making the sale, saying, you know, who's going to notice if we throw in an extra $100 billion? And then everybody else is going to realize that the Japanese are trying to get out of the treasuries without affecting the markets, that it's going to be to their disadvantage, and then everybody pours in. Everybody tries to get out the door at the same time. And I say it's going to be a Sunday night because I live with the expectation that if we can be messed over as Americans, that would be the optimum time. Asian markets open first while we're sleeping. Then the European markets open up after that and they pick over the bones. And then one Monday morning you wake up and you find that the market crashed even before it opened.
Okay, so if it crashes, they're selling off a lot of the money, the bonds, right?
Yeah,
or the notes.
Right. Well, a couple things happen. If you're a bank, you invest your money overnight in what they call repos, repurchase agreements. Okay, so the very next morning you expect to basically repurchase your money back, so you have it. But if the money markets are all crashing around you, then nobody's honoring those contracts. So banks literally have no money. Overnight, Sunday night, you know, when you're making these credit card purchases. Well, you know, you don't know what the dollar's going to be worth, and so you look at Asia and you buy futures contracts in the currency. But if it's crashing, you won't be able to. So you have all these credit card managers saying, hold it, hold it, hold it. No more transactions. Shut down the system because we're completely unhedged. And so credit cards won't work. The next day, the banks won't open because they won't have any cash other than the physical cash they have on location.
This, of course, is worst case you're talking about right here.
I don't know what the best case scenario is. I honestly don't. I think...
Well, if they decided they needed to sell $150 million and they were the only ones that did it, that would be okay. It's when people pile on.
But somebody is going to make a mistake. You can't have so many people that hold so many treasuries and not somebody try to... You know, they all know it's going to end badly. So if we could just be the first ones out, if we could just get something, I think that's kind of the mindset. And I think the Japanese are in a great position because nobody really monitors every single dollar.
It's kind of like a Ponzi scheme that, you know, the first ones in are okay.
Oh,
in this case, it's the first ones out. Okay, we've got to take a break here. Carl Lundabot, Free Fire Radio. Our guest, Jake Ryan from the Patriot Gold and Silver Exchange. Join us after these messages. This is Free Fire Radio. Yeah, welcome back to Free Fire Radio on KCNR 1460, home of Free Fire Media. It's Carl and Linda Bott. Linda's on assignment. It's 8:23 in the morning on the 30th of March, and this portion of the show is brought to you by Lumberjacks. That's right, Lumberjacks 501 East Cypress. Local business. Great food, great service. They've got six dinners there for $9.99. That's right, six dinners with all the fixings for under $10. And we're talking New York steak, baby back ribs, those kind of things. We're not talking a one slice slider hamburger with two French fries. We're talking great meals here. That's Lumberjacks. That's 501 East Cypress. They're a local company, and they are our neighbors that run this. Our guest, Jake Ryan, it's much more. Jake is, we brought him in to talk about another local business, but it's so much more that he's bringing to this. And he is the president of the Patriot Gold and Silver Exchange on Eureka Way. We've been talking about how he got into business because he used to be a blood-sucking
investment
banker, right? And the fact that, worst case. Of stuff. We've got a caller here. Hey, Indy guy, you are on.
Hey, Carl.
Hey, you're on live.
Hey, I'm just kind of perplexed by Obama.
Okay.
He's had problems with every military action that we have taken in the past, but yet he's quick to jump into Libya. What's up with that?
I think there's a couple reasons. Is that he was dragging his feet for a long time, and I thought that was the thing to do. Is don't get involved in another shooting match here, which is what we have. But I think that the pressure got so much to him, and I think Hillary Clinton and Susan Rice, and I think there was one other of his advisors that were just screaming for this to be done, and they overrode what the Secretary of Defense in the military said, is to stay out of this thing.
So why? Because they think that Gaddafi's such an easy target?
That was one of the reasons. They think that this was something, if the UN was in it, this was a winnable fight in a short period of time. You know, it's one of those that, yeah, we'll put people out in harm's way, we'll spend this money, but this is something we can win. I think they didn't realize that Gaddafi is a tenacious guy.
Yeah, this is a guy that'll go down fighting. He's got nothing to lose.
40 years he's been in control there, and he has fought the world to a standstill on various other levels. You know, when all the terrorism was going on, he didn't back off.
Now, Carl, I don't know. Are we talking about the same guy? This is the same guy that we didn't fire a single shot at him, but during George Bush's invasion of Iraq, suddenly says, yeah, here's my nuclear weapons. Take them. This is a guy that does not really want conflict, and I sincerely think that as tenacious, that's the image he wants to project, so that we'll cut a deal with him to let him escape. I honestly don't think that that his history indicates that he's somebody that... Remember the Gulf of Sidra?
Well, yeah,
you and I are old enough. The Gulf of Death? Yeah, Reagan did it. And then what did he do? Nothing.
Well, he didn't, but now the fight's going on. It's one thing from somebody else to take a shot at him with a cruise missile or bring in stealth bombers.
He's willing to duke it out in the trenches.
I think when you come into his country, as they have, and that this is, when we looked at Saddam Hussein, let's say that when he was in Here was Saddam Hussein. It was in Kuwait. The whole world was lined up, including all the Arab nations, and said, all you have to do is leave Kuwait. And nobody from the Western side could figure out, why is he staying there? I mean, it's, you know, we overwhelming force. Everybody in the world's against him. One of our analysts, who was a Middle East fail, said, he's not leaving. This is just not in his nature. He's been told for so many years that he is right, that and that he can win. And, of course, he was wrong. But I don't know. Gaddafi, I think, we got into this because the United Nations was, we didn't want to appear like we weren't supportive of it, so we were going to jump into it. Because they weren't ready, we ended up taking the lead. Now we're trying to hand it off. NATO's not, you know, first they said they would, now they're saying, well, maybe not so fast. The whole thing, I think, is not very well thought out.
Did you see the president's speech by
that? That pretty much explains this whole administration.
Okay.
I call him Daffy for a reason.
Okay.
You can't figure this guy out. I mean, he doesn't care.
Can I make a point?
He's got nowhere to go.
Okay. Oh, hey, Indy guy, thanks a lot. And
talk to you later.
Yeah, you bet. Hey, thanks a lot for the phone call. Indy's a big guy in our chat room too. He's got a lot of good comments here.
Did you hear the speech the president gave for his justification to go to Libya?
His justification, and I covered it. And I took it, in fact, I took it word for word, and I read it. It's almost the same as you've heard from George Bush when he was talking about going into Iraq and Afghanistan. Okay. The fact was to save millions of people's lives for, you know, good causes. You know, why, how long we're going to be there, and exact commitment, and all this stuff wasn't clear.
So when are we going to invade Mexico? 33,000, as of to date, have died down there as a result of the drug wars and stuff, and they have oil.
Well, you know, some people are saying the reason they were there, too. And Indy guy, this is what other people have also said, is that oil. That's, you know, and I don't get into that so big, but that oil is one of the primary reasons also, is that he was getting ready for some, you know, to kick out some of the big oil companies. Now, I don't know if that's true, but that's been kind of been making the rounds on, you know, some of in the chat rooms and on some of the blogs. I'm not sure if that's the reason or not. I think what happened is once it started in Egypt, with that, and then Yemen, and then Bahrain. Here's the other thing: Bahrain was killing people. Bahrain was having other forces come in to restore order, and nothing was said down there. I look at, if you want to save, you know, if you want to free people so they can have the freedom. If you read what Obama said, it's a beautiful sentiment there that you can read any other time we've gone to war. To let people be free so that their human rights are not being stomped on. Well. Okay, why not the Congo? Why not into Darfur? Why not into
Mexico.
Saudi Arabia? Okay,
Mexico.
All these things. And and the fact is that there is no other reason. Except, there, as somebody said in Britain, yes, you could have done all those things before, but just because you didn't do them before doesn't mean doing it this time is wrong. So, and as for Mexico, they don't have a systematic, I don't think they've got like a civil war going on down there, even though they do have a hell of a drug war going on for control of the border. We'll talk about that later. We've got to take a break here. This is Carl and DeBott, Free Fire Radio. Our guest, Jake Ryan. And we were just going to be talking about silver and gold. Now we've just gotten into all these other things, and I'd like to hear his comments on here. Plus, we're going to talk about hedging and also surviving if something does happen in a disaster there. Bad Bob, we're ready. Carl and DeBott, Free Fire Radio. 8:30, this is Free Fire Radio. Oh, welcome back to Free Fire Radio on KCNR 1460. It's Carl Lindabot. Linda's on assignment. It's 8:35 in the morning on March the 30th. It's 53 degrees out there right now, and it's going to be a great day. It's going to be sunshine. You get out there and get that vitamin D, and while you're out, why don't you go on down to Cypress Square Barbershop and get those hairs trimmed. Get that beard whacked away at. This is Cypress Square Barbershop, man's last stronghold. D.C. Tim and the Man in Black will give you great haircuts at a great price, and if you're a veteran, you get a discount. That's right, you get a discount from down there. They are great guys to talk to. You're not going to get in there and worry about getting your nails done, which really bothers Bay. But for everybody else, no nails done, anything like that, it's a barbershop. It's a barbershop, great conversation, man's last stronghold. Cypress Square Barbershop right off the Athens Avenue. Okay, our guest today is, and you know what, this, you know, I love it when you don't know where the show's going to, which is, as some people say, Carl, you never know where it's going to. Well, sometimes I do, but today we've spread out in other things, because Jake Ryan, our guest and the president of the Patriot Gold and Silver Exchange, is brought a new, he's brought a number of facets to the, he came in here talking.
Invade Mexico.
Yeah, invade Mexico, that's one of them. you know, I think he's saying it tongue-in-cheek. I'm not sure. He looks at me when he says it. But he, we talk about, you know, as he was a blood-sucking investment banker. These are his words, not mine, and talking about a number of things. But let's go to the phones here. John, thanks for waiting.
Good morning, Carl.
John, welcome back. I hope you're okay, my friend.
Thank you, Carl. I appreciate that, and I'm doing much better. I still have some residual weakness, but I'm coming along. And
we have all missed you.
It's been thanks to the wonderful care and consideration of the Reading VA and the Mather Field VA that I'm still here.
Well, you know what? I did had no idea that you were ill like that. I knew you weren't feeling well, but I didn't
it
know.
It happened real quick.
Wow.
And, but it's okay. I'm going to be fine. And,
super.
We'll talk about that personally.
Yeah, let's sit down and have you know, whatever you can drink. At
I
that
have,
point.
Again, as usual, two things
okay.
To chat about. We were talking about the great speech by Obama, and Marty loved it. You know, if you don't listen to what he said, it was a great speech. Could it be any more hypocritical, though, to suggest we have a moral obligation to address human rights abuses and oppression of citizens throughout the world? How about addressing the worst human rights abuser in the world, China? As we all know, no one will challenge their suppression of citizens and control by machine gun because they are economically essential to our well-being. So we're not going to any way address their statement. I mean, let me tell you that Jinping or whatever his name is over there in China is no less an oppressor than Gaddafi.
Who's the president of China? That's right, who?
Yeah, who? Okay.
The what's on second?
Yeah. The you know, and the you know, it gets into, we go back to that original premise is you know, why Libya? It's because we thought we could be part of a winning side there.
That exactly.
Maybe this is not something you want to do with China. You know, or, you know, we've got three wars we're in, or we're in two war. Okay, one war, one winding down, and now we're into a. I'm still not sure what this is. A group of people getting together to you know to save. People or something.
To slap somebody around.
Something like
and,
that.
And believe me, I am not an endorser in any way of Gaddafi.
No, I understand that.
But I am totally against another military involvement, and I don't like the hypocrisy of saying we are a very selective policeman of the world.
Well, you know, you're right. You know, and at one point is how, and you know, this is not a bashing Obama thing, but you know, in one point
oh,
he
China
says,
is.
"Okay, sometimes." Okay, but you know, and when he says before that, you know, that you have to go to Congress. If you don't go to Congress for you know to be able to put people into harm's way, then how can you know that he completely disagreed with it, you know, doing it before, yet now it's okay.
What's the advise and consent purpose of Congress if it isn't to give him advise and consent on doing this?
Well, that's a good point.
Yeah,
you know, that's the thing about it. Now, you know, even Dennis Kucinich, who is kind of like really, he's really out there on the left, but he said he's talking impeaching. He said this is an impeachable thing.
And I'm thinking, absolutely.
And I'm thinking, well, you know what? You know, for a guy that talks so much about, you know, working with people, I mean, he's given up on the Republicans, but now it seems like he gave up on his own party when it came to this one.
Yeah, Obama's
you know
suffering
what?
From selected memory. I think he forgot November of 2012, so I think he's still figuring he's dealing with a Democratic Congress, so. Yeah, they're going to rubber stamp everything I do. Oh, yeah, Republicans. Sorry about that.
No.
A very confused presidency, to say the least. But let me talk to Jake for a minute, if I could.
Sure.
Jake, along about, oh, 7-8 months ago when silver was at $14.50, I bought some, and people thought I was crazy. Oh, it's not going to go up, blah, 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 blah. And here it is 7 months later, and I've made a substantial profit.
And now they're telling you it's topping out, right?
No, it hasn't topped out, and that's kind of what I wanted to talk to you about. I can see silver maybe not by the end of the year, but maybe by the second quarter next year going over $100. What do you think?
Okay. Before I say anything, let me throw out the caveat that I buy and sell gold and silver, that anything I tell you is informational.
I understand that.
And this is not just for you, but anybody else out there. For investment purposes, you should always consult a financial planner. So there. That being said, I just talking to Carl about if this were the bull market, this is just the worst case scenario, that gold is pretty much topping out at $1,500 an ounce, and that's the end of it. There's been a ratio of 16 to 1 silvered gold at the point of bull market. Now, people tell you it's an average. It's not. It usually confirms that you're at the top. Well, right now, silver is 38 ounces to 1 ounce of gold. So in order to get to 16 ounces, if, in fact, we're at the top, and I don't suspect that gold is just going to sit there for a year at the top, if that were the case, you'd see silver at about $98 an ounce. I think you could hit $100 this year, but I'm going to be conservative politically and economically. And my guess is that by the end of the year, the closing fix, the afternoon closing fix on December 31st, you will see silver at either $62 an ounce or higher.
I like that dollar value. I think you're probably right on target. That's why I said I think the second quarter of next year we'll see it at 100.
Now, can I ask you something?
Wait, before we go there, guys, I got to take a break.
Okay.
Otherwise, the people that pay us to mention them on our show here in the morning, it could be just a trifle upset. Hey, this is Carl Lindebaugh, Free Fire Radio, right here on KCNR 1460, 8:42 in the morning, March the 30th. This is Free Fire Radio. Yeah, welcome back to Free Fire Radio on KCNR 1460, home of Free Fire Media. Carl and Linda Bott, 8:45 in the morning on March the 30th. Phone lines here, 530-605-4567, and continue to chat with us at KCNR1460.com. John's on the phone, but John, I want to ask Jake a question. Our guest, by the way, is Jake Ryan, president of the Patriot Gold and Silver Exchange.
The Patriot.
Okay. Now, one of the things we were talking about, you know, John was talking about how he invested in silver and it was a good deal, but we were talking during the break that the nickel in your pocket.
Mm-hmm.
Talk about that, Jake. I had almost sit down.
Okay. You want to go to a website called www.coinflation.com, and it has the melt values of all the various currencies. And as of yesterday's commodity close, the nickel is about 5.5 grams. It's 75% copper and it's 25% nickel. The melt value for that as of yesterday was 7.2 cents.
So the nickel is actually worth more than a nickel.
Correct. And so if you
melted it down.
If you melted it down. Now, there are laws preventing that unless it's been defaced, but I guarantee you that once the melt value goes to 10 cents, nickels will start disappearing, and somebody will invent a machine that systematically defaces nickels so that they can truck them off to Canada or Mexico and melt them down. Just like the 1964 quarters, dimes, and 50-cent pieces disappeared from the currency, I think once people realize that, if you can't buy silver and you can't buy gold, but you want to protect the value of your dollar, it's the only form of currency we have that's actually appreciating.
Okay. Hey, John, are you still there?
Yes.
Okay.
I certainly am.
Did you hear that?
I did.
Wow.
I like the meltdown concept as far as pricing out your silver and change. But I want to ask a question about similar to that in a way.
All right, John, and this one, after this question, we need to move
along.
I'm going
to bail on you after that.
Yeah, okay, bail me on that. Go sit down and get some rest here. Okay, what is
it? Futures versus actual physical purchase. How do you feel about buying futures of silver or gold, but particularly silver is what I'm interested in?
I had a professor at UCLA. I got my MBA at UCLA, and one of my professors was a guy named Dick Roll, and he was one of the black box thinkers for long-term capital management. I don't know if you know that firm.
I'm familiar with it.
Yeah, okay. They blew up because on paper it looked great, but what they didn't count on was what they call counterparty risk. They wrote contracts with Russian counterparties who at the end of the day, when they had to start paying out, and delivering on their end of the promise, said niet, no. And that wasn't anything in the model that the long-term capital management had. They expected that they were protected because they had somebody on their side agreeing to it. And a silver contract, right now J.P. Morgan, I think, is sitting on 3.3 billion ounces of contracts saying that they'll deliver silver they don't have.
That's what I've heard is that there, people are saying, yeah, I've got this, and it's kind of keeping the price low, but if they have to deliver on it, which I understand there may be an investigation going on about that.
Yeah, there 3.3 billion, and let's put that in context. The COMEX, which is the clearinghouse for all silver and gold ounces, doesn't even have a billion ounces, not let alone 3.3 billion.
Yeah, news when you sell things you don't have.
Well, yeah, but that's what speculators do, and that's actually pretty good for the market, but usually there are rules in place, and for some reason or other, J.P. Morgan has been exempted from those rules and has put themselves in a dangerous position.
Yeah. Hey, John, we got to...
Thank you very much, Carl, for giving me the time.
Well, thank you for... You know what, John? We always welcome you here. Your comments are always good, and you're truly a gentleman, and we're so glad you're back.
Thank you very much. I'll talk to you soon.
You bet, John.
Bye.
Okay, before we take this break... Jake, I want to talk one more time, just to talk about in the next segment, is I want to talk about your other portion of what you do. Is you've brought in all this encasers and emergency supplies, and we're going to talk a little bit about that. It's been we've been talking about the currency and your main focus there, but you know,
I'm a good guy to know in a disaster.
There you go. Okay, Carl Lindebaugh, Free Fire Radio. Jake Ryan is our guest. 8:49 in the morning, March the 30th. This is Free Fire Radio. Going KCNR 1460, Carl Lindebaugh. Linda's on assignment. It's 8:52 in the morning on March the 30th. This portion of the show is brought to you by Tobacco and Brew. It's one of our favorite places. Joe and Shelley support the veterans. They support this community. They have a great place there in Espresso Joe's that will give you the coffee you want at great, fair prices. You can buy almost any type of coffee-making machine there while you're there, and the girls will show you how to use it. And then, of course, that walk-in humidor, which has just a great offering of tobacco and cigars. And they pick, selectively choose, certain cigars that they put on sale. And it's in a they set them aside, and they do a kind of a mix and match, and it gives you a great price on that. That's Tobacco and Brew, 2143 Hilltop Drive, one of our favorite places. Our guest, Jake Ryan, the Patriot Gold and Silver Exchange, and we've been talking about that. We've had a lot of comments and questions, but now we're going to talk about the other aspect of your business, and that's getting ready in case there's an emergency.
Yeah, I actually advertise on your station.
That's right.
Not my gold and silver, even though it's in the name, and I figure you'll come here to my shop for that. But the other major players in Reading are coin shops, jewelry stores. If there were ever a disaster like I'm thinking, then there's absolutely no reason for them to continue business. Currency may not buy you anything if there's nothing to buy. So I thought, in my business plan, if a disaster were to occur like I believe will occur, what would I also like to have? I'd like to be able to sell 200 serving bucket, adult serving size buckets where you just grab and go, three servings a day. It will give you all the vitamins and nutrients and calories you need. And, one bucket will last you about one person 2 months. In my family, it lasted us about 2 weeks. I have a family of six.
So you've used this then?
Oh, yeah.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, I wouldn't have bought as much inventory as I had if I hadn't...
Okay, so you've got a grab-and-go bag.
Yep.
And
a grab-and-go pail.
Pail.
And then I've got, for long-term disaster, I also sell the non-hybrid seeds. So that once you plant and grow, you can then go ahead and... you'll never have to buy seeds from me or anybody else again. You should be able to sustain yourself. I tried to show my wife, what's what, and I bought a bell pepper and, cut out the core with all the seeds on it and showed her how to dry it out. And I said, watch, this is what I used to do when I was a kid. And not one of those things germinated. They were all genetically modified. It increases the crop yield by 6%, but then after they're done, the farmers have to go and buy seed from places like Monsanto. But the consumer cannot grow the stuff that the seeds that are actually in the market.
Really?
Well, and there are exceptions, but
how about the organic ones? When you see things like that, you should be okay there then.
Yeah.
I mean, if you get organic tomatoes or all those other things, but if you just buy from the big farms from Mexico or that, is that you're saying it's genetically they're hybrid seeds
to increase the yield. But mm-hmm. I'm sure it was a corporate decision up the chain to say, well,
you also have to buy the seeds every year.
Yeah.
So
I do that. I also do the in those buckets, I have cacciatore and corn chowder and western stew, and I can attest for all of it. The only thing I didn't care for much was the barley vegetable soup. My wife says, as barley vegetable soups go, that it was good. I'll have to take her word for it because I just...
Barley vegetable soup has never been my favorite either, and I'm trying to figure out why, because it seems healthy. Maybe it's just because I haven't had it fixed. I haven't had it fixed correctly there. Okay, in our remaining few minutes here, Jake, You've got all this, and plus the fact, of course, that you're, you know, we see things in the paper that is, you know, we'll pay up to this amount, and I think we've already covered that, that, you know, that you're paying, what, 12% or more for people when they bring it, if they bring in coins, plus you sell.
Yeah, silver. If you bring in just coins that used to be in circulation prior to 1964, they're 90% silver. I'll pay you 25 times face value for dimes, quarters, 50 cent pieces. Mike Quinn called me the other day and did a little sting on me. Well, I got this 50 cent piece. How much will you pay me for it? And I said, 25. Really? And he was actually reading out of the paper somebody that had come to town and said that they pay you up to 8.
Yeah.
So when silver goes up in value, like John was saying, the question I was going to ask him is make sure that if he does sell, get out of his investment, that he goes to somebody established. Because I can tell you, if I rooked you by paying you only 8 times and you found out about it, since I got a lease, I'm not moving around.
Right.
You're going to nail me.
Yeah. And that's, you know, and like you said, let's do local. We know of other people here in town, too, that they buy and they, at comparable prices. I think they all know how much each other's paying. And so when you get in somebody that puts a lot of ads out and just says they'll pay this, it looks good, but you've got to do your homework.
And they're very temporary. Now, one last thing.
Sure.
My first sale of the day, I open up at 9:30 every day except Saturday. I open up at 10. And I always give a Mercury dime for my first sale of the day, which I'll give you a good price for if you want to sell back to me.
And how much is a Mercury dime worth?
25 times face value is what I'll buy it for.
$250.
And then I sell it for 27, so I make a 2 divided by 27 spread.
Okay.
Yeah, I know. Blood-sucking investment banker.
The fact that a dime's worth $2.50. And today, okay, one of the biggest things taken out of today, besides the fact is being ready, and we'll have Jake back on again when we start talking our survival group, or our preparing for emergencies, not survival, but our emergency preparedness. We'll have Red Cross, and we're going to have a number of people in to talk about what we do. We'll have Jake back in again, too, to talk about food and these things. But the fact that a nickel that you have in your pocket right now is worth 7.5 cents.
That's just blowing your mind, isn't it?
It is. It's completely because I'm thinking, it's, you know, I always kind of thought if people were talking about, let's just get rid of this and get rid of this. I mean, really, what do we use it for? And I'm thinking, all those nickels are worth more. And so what you're saying is now it gives people a reason to take them out of circulation.
So those little penny jars you keep throwing?
Oh, yeah.
Nickel jars.
And then just bring them down to where? You?
Well, no. Well, when it goes to 10 cents and they start disappearing, I may have a bid for them.
Okay. All right. Okay, our guest has been Jake Ryan. He's the president of the Patriot Gold and Silver Exchange. Plus, he talks about a lot of different things that we've had a good time with. I wasn't planning for this to go for the whole hour, but I'm glad it has, Jake.
One more hour, we could have solved all the problems.
Well, you know what? We're not invading Mexico. We are not talking about that here, no matter what the chat room says and our guest at times, you know. So, okay, thank you so much. Now, tomorrow we're going to have Gary Catt on. Now, Gary comes in, and we're going to talk about the charter cities. There was a big meeting last Thursday night that caused, there was a lot of consternation on there, a lot of people getting excited about the fact of the of paying a prevailing wage. And what happens if you go to a charter city? Do they do away with that? We're going to talk about that tomorrow. We've got a couple other things we're going to be talking about on the what's happening around here. And we didn't get a chance to address what's going up in the Siskiyou County wars, up there, the water wars. But we're going to tomorrow, I promise you, because, you know, there's some things going on up there that could have a severe impact right down here in Shasta County. Well, this is Carl and Linda Bott, Free Fire Radio. Just remember, it's the good guys against the bad guys. But which are you?
Thank you for listening to KCNR Shasta Redding.